American women. This is the story of women who have helped to develop the American way of life.
Daughters of yesterday, mothers of might, co-makers of history, women whose names are written large upon the honor rolls of our nation's great, women courageous who have served and sacrificed, worked and dreamed, pioneered and persevered, women whose names, deeds, and claims to fame have often been forgotten.
This is their story. And it is your story. Three centuries of women whose deeds are rooted deep in our past and whose influence will reach far into the future. It's the story of you, the pioneer women of today, who are blazing the trails of tomorrow. The United States Office of Education and the National Broadcasting Company take pride in presenting the 12th chapter in this epic tale of women in the making of America. Today we bring you the story of women who are truly trailblazers. Women who have forsaken comfortable homes and warm firesides for the thrill and adventure, the science and the knowledge that is found only beyond the frontier of civilization. This is the story of women explorers.
With the thickness of nature gone mad, steaming with the sweat of the tropics, hot with the odor of orchids. This is the jungle, and here gallant American women have blazed the trail. This is the wilderness, cold, empty, barren as the moon, cold with the iciness of the lonely, empty as the heart of the forsaken. This is the wilderness, and here too gallant American women have blazed a trail.
And this is the frontier, mysterious, unknown, rich with the traditions of centuries, mysterious only because it is unknown. This is the frontier in Asia, in Africa, in Samoa, and in Latin America. To open this frontier, to bring us knowledge and sympathy and understanding for these other peoples, gallant American women are blazing a trail.
Bah, fiddlesticks. Wandering around the globe as if they had nothing better to do. Why? Why, I ask? Why? Women's place is in the home. Why don't they stay there? Huh? Answer me. Why?
There are many answers. Some women travel because they are married to travelers. Some because they are scientists. Some because they are collectors. And some for the pure and simple reason that they love to travel. Yes? Some women travel because they're fulfilling their age-old roles. They're giving companionship to their husbands.
Cecile Holt Lachat is one of these women.
Miss Holt?
Yes.
A letter for you.
Oh, thank you.
Beg your pardon, ma'am, but I have a son who's a stamp collector. I noticed a letter came from Bolivia.
From
Wonder if you could tear off a stamp and let me have it.
Bolivia... Oh, why, certainly. Here you are.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
What is it, Cecile?
A letter.
From whom?
The Duke.
Who?
The Duke. You remember. That wild engineer who's always running away to strange places, surveying us.
What did he say?
Well, sit down and I'll read it to you.
Must I sit? I've got cleaning to do.
Yes, you'd better sit down. You can't take his letters, then.
Well?
Sunday noon. La Paz, Bolivia. Dear Cecile. I finished the preliminary survey a week ago, and we are celebrating here in La Paz, one of the highest cities in South America. You'd like it here, Cecile.
I have no time for travelogues now.
I'm thinking of taking a job close to New York, say 4,000 or 5,000 miles away. But if you can't see your way clear, I guess I'll go to Mesopotamia. I hear there's a dandy opening there. But I'd like it awfully if you'd think about it. Take care of yourself. With love, the Duke.
What does all this nonsense mean to
you? Oh, here's a postscript. P.S. On reading this over, it occurred to me that perhaps I didn't make it quite clear that I'm asking you to marry me.
For heaven's sake.
I'll do better after I've had some practice.
Well, of all the...
P.S. I'm enclosing a rose that has an awfully nice smell.
The man is insane.
It does smell sweet.
Oh, now, see here, Cecile, the man's crazy.
No, he's not. He's sane. I'm crazy. I'm going to marry him.
And so, Cecile Holt marries Masaki in South America. He travels by his side through the Mato Grosso, the jungle of Brazil, to the tributaries of the Amazon, the cold, windy wastes of the Patagonia. An accomplished artist, Cecile Michaud, soon catches the strange magic of the jungle, and with her brush, she attempts to capture some of its magnificent beauty. Orchids were her special interest. And one day, while hunting specimens on the bank of the Rio Negro...
Hey there!
Oh!
Stop!
Oh, yes. Oh, Ned.
What are you doing in this jungle, lass?
Why, I'm looking for orchids.
Alone?
Yes. My camp is just downstream a bit. I think I've heard about you. You are the only red-headed man around here, aren't you?
So you're looking for orchids, eh? Well, there's plenty of them here. Miles of them. What are you going to do with them?
Why, paint them. Maybe someday I'll put them in a book. Talk, Raven.
I'll show you orchids. Catalea Aclumbe. Pale green with lip of purple. Lilia crispa, a blossom white as snow, marked with glowing ruby. Hey, lass. Let's get going now.
Why, yes.
And dinner run away either.
Oh, no, I won't.
If you do, I could crush you. Like that. And as fine a palace as you could want, eh, lass?
Yes. Where are you from?
I'm a Scotsman. At least, once I was.
Do you live here always?
Aye, I live here, alone. Alone with the orchids. Orchids. Sweet, fragile orchids.
Well, don't you miss the city?
Not anymore. You see there, that wee little hut?
Yes.
Just full of orchids. Then, take all you want. All you want. They're yours. Go ahead, lad. Go ahead.
Why, thank you. Oh. Why, this is magnificent. I've never seen anything so beautiful. Hello? Hello? Mr. Scotsman, where are you? Oh, that's me. That's funny.
Hey, lassie, can you sing? Sing, do you hear us? Sing!
I didn't...
Eat, drink, and sing! For the mother we'd be.
Die?
Sing, lass! Sing!
Yankee Doodle went to town, riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni.
More of us! Jamie wants more! The bagpipes have been starved to hear a woman's voice. Sing! Sing for your orchids! You hear me?
Yes.
Sing! Come now! Nearer, my God, to thee.
Nearer, my God, to thee. Near to thee. Even though it be a cross that says But Mad Orchid Jamie did no harm to Cecile Machat. After an orgy of singing, hours of it, he suddenly grew quiet. And this gallant American woman brought from the jungle one of the finest collection of orchid paintings ever assembled. For much of this material, he thanks Mad Orchid Jamie, the crazy goth of the Amazon.
And there were other women who explored the far corners of the world, offering men companionship, assistance, and contributing their bit to the knowledge of the world. One of the first of these was Elizabeth Cary Agassiz, wife of the famous scientist. In 1865, she accompanied her husband on an expedition to Brazil as self-appointed clerk. 1906, Mrs. Fanny Bellet Workman journeyed with her husband to the Himalayan mountains, and with him achieved the world mountaineering record for women at that time, 20,000 feet. Mrs. Delia Akeley was by her husband's side as they tramped through Africa, and later on she organized a safari, and with only the black natives to accompany her, she went into darkest Africa. And Mrs. Charles A. Lindbergh, acting as navigator for her husband, helped blaze new trails through the skies. Some women explore because they seek to add to the stock of human knowledge. One of these women is Laura Bolton of Field Museum, Chicago. 1934. It is the time of the secret ceremonies and annual sacrifices in Benin, the city of blood on the west coast of Africa. Benin, center of one of the most advanced, most mysterious civilizations on the dark continent. Two Americans, members of the South West African Expedition from Field Museum, Chicago, stand awaiting an audience in the palace of the Most High Oba. One is Laura Bolton, who has explored more of Africa than any other living woman. Today, she stands in the palace of the Oba, her recording equipment beside her, listening to the strangest, most exotic music she's ever heard.
Listen, did you ever hear anything so intense, so weird and exciting?
Never. In all our explorations of Africa.
The ancient juju music, sacred to the spirits of Benin. Oh, I must get a recording of it.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't put your heart on it so. We'll be lucky if we even get into the courtyard to see the ceremony.
Don't worry. I have a plan. I think the Oba will not only invite us in, but will actually insist that I record his music.
Well, I hope so. But remember, Laura, this is no simple native you're dealing with. This Oba is a well-educated man.
Just think, this is the same ceremony, the same music they've played for generations. John, I must take that music back to America. Listen to the throbbing rhythm.
Someone's coming.
His Highness, the Most High, the Oba of Benin, will see you. You will follow my footsteps to the audience chamber. It is our pleasure to receive you. Will you not approach and be seated?
Thank you.
I have heard that you are collecting rare birds and that you are recording the music of my people.
Yes. I've brought some of my recordings with me in this case. I thought you might enjoy hearing them.
I should be charmed. Bungara, assist them in opening the cases.
Yes, Highness.
First, I shall play a record of one of your xylophone orchestras.
Stop the music.
What? Why, Your Highness.
Forgive me, Mrs. Bolton. But you are taking this record back to America as representative of African music?
Why, yes.
But this is not our great music.
It isn't?
Definitely not. Oh. This is to the ceremonial music of Benin what the tawdry glass beads of the trader are to the precious coral of the Oba.
But really, Your Highness,
it would be most unfortunate to have to return to America with so incomplete a selection of our music. Come, stand here at the door to my courtyard.
Oh.
This is the great music of the ceremony of the dead king, which accompanies our sacrifice to the spirits of the Obas of Benin.
Sacrifice?
You need not be alarmed, Mrs. Bolton. Today we shall sacrifice only animals and fowls. you would care to come into the ceremonial courtyard and record the music, why, I...
Oh, Your Highness, if I could, it would make the finest collection of tribal music ever to come out of Africa.
Then you shall do so. Bungara, strike the gong.
Let the chorus start. Let the orchestra play. Let them sound the sacred music of the kings of Benin.
And so Laura Bolton returned to the United States with one of the greatest prizes to come out of Africa. Records that have caused a sensation in musical circles and enriched the musical heritage of the world. Other gallant American women have braved the frontier to collect and record native music. Miss Frances Densmore of the Bureau of American Ethnology is one of the greatest living authorities on native Indian music.
Dr. Ruth M. Underhill, now Associate Supervisor of Indian Education of the United States Indian Offices, lived among the Papago Indians of southwestern Arizona for nearly a year at different times, recording their music, learning their language, and writing a Papago grammar. Into the jungle, the wilderness, the unknown, a trail is being forged. Gallant American women are pressing forward into lands where even men have feared to tread.
And some women travel to the far quarters of the globe to study.
To study the culture of ancient Cilicia, Dr. Hetty Goldman travels annually to Tarsus in Asia Minor, and there directs a corps of native workers digging out the secrets of yesterday from the diary of the earth.
To study marine life, Gloria Hollister of the New York Zoological Society accompanies Dr. William Beebe on his expedition to Bermuda water. She holds the deep sea diving record obtained when she descended 1/4 mile to the bottom of the sea. And to study human beings, the greatest of all sciences, some women travel to the forgotten places of the net. Such a woman is Blair Niles, who for her book Peruvian Pageant was awarded a gold medal by the city of Lima. She explains the object of her work as
exploration of human emotions. The study of mankind has always been my dominant interest, the thing I find most fascinating in exploration.
And so, Blair Niles, to study human beings, the environment of crime and punishment, went to Devil's Island.
A woman. A white woman. Look, Jacques. A white woman coming up the road.
Oh, it is the heat. Pierre, come out of the sun.
No. No, Jacques. This is a woman, I say. She is coming here.
Here?
Mon Dieu. Goro, Mapino.
A woman. A woman.
Look there.
Ah. Led by a single star. She came from very far to seek where shadows are her pleasant light.
Oh, that's a beautiful poem.
It is called Dreamland by Christina Rossetti.
I'm Blair Niles. The authorities have given me permission to speak with you.
To speak with us?
Do you mind?
Do we mind?
Do you hear, brothers? She asked us if we mind. We who are starved for talk.
We are starved for food, too.
You are English, madame?
American.
What do they eat in America?
Are all women like you?
You see, madame, there is a world beyond the currents, beyond the jungle. We have almost forgotten it. This is our world. So tiny. We? It is said a man can walk around our world in the time it takes to smoke a cigarette.
Have you a cigarette?
Certainly. Here, take the pack.
Merci, madame.
I have been here 18 years. Yes, madame, 18 years. I have a home in France. A wife, too.
Oh, what are they eating in Paris?
I came from Brittany, madame. The women there wear lace caps. They look very pretty, too.
Is food cheap now? Can anyone buy food?
Have you ever been to Paris, madame?
Why, yes.
Maman Ponas.
A beautiful lady.
Omelette.
The smell of fresh bread.
Little. Little of cheese.
When I am dead, my dearest, sing no sad songs for me. Plant thou no roses at my head, nor shady cypress trees. Be the green grass above me, with showers and dewdrops wet. And if thou wilt, remember. And if thou wilt, forget.
One gets an extraordinary situation at Devil's Island. Nothing else comes between you and your study. All the masks behind which human beings live are off. Dissembling evasions are swept away. Nothing but stark truth remains. The convicts speak chiefly of three things: food, freedom, women. I have spent much of my life traveling about the world, studying people in India, Burma, Ceylon, Java, Borneo, China, Japan, and in many of the countries of Latin America. But to women who have no such opportunity, I have this to say. You, right here in America's big city, have a chance to do a vast amount of exploration if you are primarily interested in exploring the human mind.
And other women have gone to the frontiers of civilization to explore the human mind.
Margaret Mead of the American Museum of Natural History spent a year among the Aborigines of New Guinea, studying the problem of adolescence among the primitive people. From this tiny corner of the earth, she has brought back a good picture of the life of these little-known people.
There is no frontier too distant, no jungle too thick, no wilderness too barren to restrain the progress of these intrepid American women.
And there are those women who travel for the simple joy of traveling.
Such a woman was Harriet Chalmers Adams, often called America's foremost woman explorer. She was the organizer and first president of the Society of Woman Geographers. Mrs. Adams was a fine storyteller, and this was her favorite.
Mr. Adams and I were traveling through the interior of Peru, crossing the Andean Mountains, bound for the vine-hung wonderland of the interior, nature's Amazonian conservatory. First, you climb to the dizzy summit, and then you take your life in your hands and literally slide off the roof. The tortuous trail down the eastern slope had been hewn out of solid rock, crossing and recrossing a canyon by means of swinging bridges hung on cables. Slowly we crawled along the ledge, and then suddenly...
Harriet! Harriet! Are you all right?
All right. But soaked. How are the animals?
I guess they're as miserable as we are. Harriet?
Yes?
I'll tell you a secret.
What is it?
I think we're lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I think we've taken the wrong trail. The one that's blocked by the landslide.
I've noticed the path getting narrower.
You better get down on your hands and knees and start crawling. But try the ground before you put your weight on it.
All right. I haven't been here since I left the nursery.
Well, I wish you were back in the nursery.
I don't. This is fun.
Fun? Aren't you scared?
Petrified.
Yeah, so am I. Get on, Macduff. Get on. Look ahead there, Harry. The bridge is down.
We've got to get across. The river's rising. We'll be cut.
Well, there's a log still stretching across, but it looks weak and slippery.
We'll have to try it.
Well, we have to leave the horses here.
Give me that bundle from the horse.
Well, you can't take anything, Harriet.
I want that bundle.
All right. You ready?
Ready?
Now, I think low on the log, Harriet, and sort of shinny across.
Keep hold of your end.
Yes, I will. Don't worry. Now, good luck.
Here I go.
Easy. Easy does it. Atta girl. A little more now. A little more. Easy now.
Hey! Hey!
Hold on to the log. Here I come.
Hurry.
Can you reach me?
No.
Hold on. I got you. Oh, steady now.
Oh.
There we are. Can you make it?
Yes, I think I'm all right.
Now, give me a hand, dear. That was a close call.
Oh, you almost pulled my hair out by the roof.
I'm sorry, but it was the easiest thing to grab. We made it.
Oh, my bundle. Where is it? Oh, it's safe.
Well, you were clutching it when I dragged you in. But Lord, Harriet, what's in that bundle? What makes it so precious?
It's my three most precious possessions, dear. My diary, a necktie that I promised to deliver to an American boy working in a mine with a visit, and finally, and most important, look, dear, my jar of cold cream.
Mr. Adams and I went into regions where expeditions had been wiped out. Among these primitive people, we found the best passport to be an attitude of simple friendliness.
India, Samoa, Guatemala, Ecuador, China, Africa, Tibet, Siberia, into the unknown, the unmapped, into the jungle, the wilderness, the frozen waste they go.
Seeking knowledge, adventure,
sharing the danger, sharing the work, sharing the glory of our men.
Sharing the thrill of exploration. The jungle trail is blazed, the wilderness is mapped, the frontier is opened, and gallant Americans, women, look for new fields to conquer. You have just heard Women Explorers, the 12th program in the series Gallant American Women. For the next 26 weeks on this same station, and at the same time, you may continue to follow the drama of Gallant American Women. Next week, Women of Letters, and Pearl Buck, first American woman to win the Nobel Prize for Literature, will speak. Complete text of scripts of past and coming programs are available. For your copy, send 10 cents to Gallant American Women, Washington, D.C. We invite you and your friends to tune in each week at this same time to Gallant American Women. Gallant American Women, an NBC public service feature, is a series of dramatizations prepared and presented by the United States Office of Education, Federal Security Agency, with the cooperation of the Women's Division of NBC, and with the assistance of the Works Project Administration. In presenting these educational radio programs, the United States Office of Education endeavors to treat all problems and subject matter in nonpartisan spirit. Program supervised by Eva Hansel, historical consultant, Mrs. Mary R. Beard of the World Center for Women's Archives, and Dr. Eugenie Leonard. Original music by Rudolph Schramm. For your copy of the script, send 10 cents to Gallant American Women, Washington, D.C. This is the National Broadcasting Company.